League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects back on ESPN. One in the books, or one, two in the books, one and to go. One more hour of the show on this Thursday afternoon. Just looking at the spectrum of things, I've asked you guys this before. It's not my forte. I know you guys are big on both boxing and MMA and UFC, but is this thing going to finally happen?
Yeah, somebody was also texted and said, is there an update? Yeah, the report is that McGregor has signed his deal, and I think we have some audio from Dana.
And so, McGregor, three Mayweather, is it happening? Is it a myth? What's going on? Please let us know right now.
The McGregor side is done. I'm starting to work on the Mayweather side now.
Ooh. So okay, the fight will happen.
Ooh.
I'm not saying the fight will happen, but I got one side done. Now it's time to work on the other. You know, if we can come to a deal with Heyman and Mayweather, the fight's going to happen.
What will the rules be?
Boxing.
Oh, it's going to be straight up boxing.
Yeah, straight boxing. Yeah.
Until someone starts.
Until somebody. Yeah.
Thanks to the CBS Morning Show for that audio. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the TNT crew.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but a long time ago on this show, many, many moons ago, we discussed this. And I said at the time I didn't think this fight was going to happen. And Dana White is now in the middle of it because he wasn't for a while. And now he's in the middle of it and he's trying to make this thing happen. And he's taking care of his house. Now he's got to work with the other side, the boxing side. And, you know, I saw a clip from Mayweather on ESPN talking about, well, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, but just know that they haven't reached out to us at all, even if they're saying they have. And now we haven't reached out to them either, but they haven't reached out to us. So you can see Mayweather working already. And the weird dynamic about this fight is that I have a feeling Mayweather is going to be the babyface. McGregor is going to be the heel because he's much better at selling in the heel than Mayweather is. But I don't know that this is going to happen. Either way, I still don't want to watch it. This is going to be a bloodbath.
To me, isn't this Pacquiao Mayweather? And by the time it happens, if it does happen, they're so over the hill that it's not going to be anything near what people anticipated?
Pacquiao still had a better shot in that fight than I think McGregor does at beating Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match. I don't want to see that. It literally would be like taking someone from the WNBA and making them play LeBron James one-on-one. It's not the same thing. Or it's like, you know, I don't know. These are not the same sport.
Right.
And I said this before, and everyone out there that's clamoring for this because they think it's the two best combative arts people on the planet, that's fine. But it's two different things. There's elements of boxing and MMA, but it's not the same boxing.
I couldn't be with you. I couldn't be with you more. In terms of the Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather thing, that was a storyline that lasted over 5 years. And right. I just don't think that will happen here with Conor McGregor. I think, these fights have to, the way it stays relevant is that you make it happen and you make it happen quickly. It's not like the way the boxing works slow. It just works so slow when it came down to making that fight. I'm starting to warm up to the idea that it is going to happen, but the earlier discussions had a lot to do with who was going to be the A side, who was going to be the B side. I think this move was a matter of the UFC protecting its interests. And the fact that they were able to sign Conor first kind of tells me that he's the B side and he's not the A side.
Without a doubt, he's the B side. Listen, nothing brings in money like boxing. You say what you want about boxing and it being past its prime and no one watches it, but when it comes down to a Floyd Mayweather pay-per-view, they're killing any UFC pay-per-view that comes on. So he's the A-side because he will definitely be the draw. I mean, I realize that UFC, the MMA and the UFC has a younger demographic than boxing, but boxing has a lot more people that still love that sport, I think.
Yeah, you can't mess with boxing. It's going to be around for years.
Money-wise, you might think it's boring, which I happen to think that. There are very few stars in boxing anymore. But I don't want to see this. And I if you would, you know, when we did the show, like I said, many moons ago and talked about this, I think it was September, October, I was 90% sure this wasn't going to happen. I'm about 60% sure now. Like, it's looking like it's going to be a deal. But I'm not buying it, and I'm not watching it, and I don't care about it. Because I don't want to see it. It'd be like saying you want to watch a dude that plays putt-putt.
Yeah, I'm with you. Again, golf. I'm not the expert, but I know that the only way to make it fair is if McGregor would be able to bring certain elements of what he's best at into the ring as well so that they could make it somewhat fair. And there's no set of rules for that, and there's no way to structure that, I don't think. And it's just, it's a huge publicity stunt. And if I'm betting it doesn't happen. I still am betting it doesn't happen.
Well,
and I'm with you. I hope it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't. But I think if you were to do that, the only way they could do that is if they were to say it was a kickboxing match, which it's still boxing, but you can kick. There's no takedowns. There's no ground and pound. There's no ground game involved. No elbows, no knees, but you can kick. So you're giving McGregor the ability to use something in his arsenal that he's not the best at.
Would kill him. Honestly, yeah.
If it
in
was
a kickboxing
anything, but,
match,
yeah,
any, I don't think he would last 10 seconds with him. Honestly, I'm probably not literally 10 seconds, but I just don't think he would last over a round because the worst thing you can do to a boxer is kick him. They're not used to kicks.
Well, boxing is a lot about footwork. I know people think it's all just, you know, hands, but boxing is mainly about footwork and head movement. I mean, that's how you set up your punches. So those tend to be secondary. And yeah, you're right. Couple of kicks to the thigh and you slow down Floyd Mayweather and he has to, yeah,
especially if he's taking that boxing stance where it's very linear and his knees way out there. Yep. He'll kick his kneecap to the nosebleeds, dude.
Yeah,
it won't even be a fight.
You're right. I don't want it. Are you gonna watch it if it happens?
I would. Now, the reason why I would watch it is because this is so crazy. This is the when people who didn't know anything about the sport of mixed martial arts, they would always say, I mean, it was part of the reason why this sport was built. Who has the best martial art? And everybody would always compare UFC and boxing when no one, like, I never wanted it to be compared to boxing, ever. I never wanted the MMA to be compared to boxing. But the fact that it's actually happening, something I never thought would happen, yeah, it kind of piques my interest. And it's settled. There's no discussion about the, no, I won't. I'll go to a bar or something like that. No, I won't pay for it. It's going to be like a $100 pay-per-view, I guarantee. Yeah. It's going to be a ridiculous pay-per-view. There's no way I'll pay for it. I wasn't going to pay $100 for the Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight either. No way.
Somebody said this fight's about screwing the working man out of his money. Yeah, it kind of feels that way.
It really does.
It kind of feels that way, but it's not going to be close. I don't any Floyd Mayweather is going to win every round, and it won't be close.
Yeah, I mean, it's a boxing match, and I think that's the reason why it's helping. It may actually happen because the fact of the part of the rules, there's no negotiation. It's already accepted. It's going to be boxing rules.
Yeah.
And I think that helps facilitate the fight a little bit more as opposed to, well, what rules it's going to be. Is it going to be MMA rules? Should we mix in these rules? I mean, that would have elongated the process so much more, in my opinion. So the fact that...
So if you're McGregor, sorry, but if you're McGregor, the payday far outweighs the possible embarrassment.
He's in a no-lose situation. All the pressure is on Floyd Mayweather. If Floyd Mayweather gets clipped and gets knocked out by Conor McGregor, he's a joke at this point. You literally got knocked out by a guy who has no business being in the ring with you.
Isn't it kind of a no-lose situation for both fighters?
No, it's not. I don't think Conor McGregor is he has nothing to lose and everything to gain. If he loses this, look at all of us. There's no one's giving him a chance. He's supposed to go in and lose this fight.
But
he's going to get paid.
Loses.
He's going to be rich. It'll be his biggest payday ever, bigger than any money he's made in the UFC. I haven't seen the contract. It might be more than what he's made in the UFC combined.
But what about if Floyd loses? What does he have to lose?
His reputation. His ability to do anything else
done.
In the business.
He's a done
anyway,
fighter.
It doesn't matter. Dude, at his point in his career, the only thing he has left is his reputation. Because he's not going to fight anymore, or very often. If he loses that reputation, the last fight you have is getting beat by a mixed martial artist. that tarnishes. There goes the discussion that some radio weirdos are going to have 20 years from now. Who's the best boxer of all time? Well, you got to put Floyd in there. No, you don't, because he got his ass knocked out by Conor McGregor.
But he has a built-in excuse. He's past his prime. His he's 40
ego.
Years old.
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter.
He has nothing left to prove. He beat every best boxer ever out there, except with an exception of Pacquiao for facing him past his prime.
Exactly. But his ego. I'm telling you, he has everything to lose in this. Is he going to get paid? Sure he is. But he's the only one really risking anything. Conor McGregor has nothing to lose.
I'm just saying, both guys are going to get paid so handsomely.
Yeah.
That no matter what embarrassment you may potentially face, at the end of the day, they're getting a ton of money, so it makes it all worth it.
So if I set the over-under at 100 bucks for the pay-per-view, over-under about 100, is that a fair over-under, 100 bucks? I'd say over,
probably,
man. I think it'd be more than the Pacquiao Floyd.
Dude, a UFC card is 70 if you get the HD.
I really believe it'll be over 100 bucks.
I could see it being 125. I absolutely could.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. Joel, better call Joel, said, James, Barry, tell your producer that this has already happened and it's not that crazy. It was James Toney versus Randy Couture. Yeah, the difference is it was MMA.
I never said it wouldn't happen. And I was the one that said I'm warming up to the idea.
Well, and the difference between this McGregor-Mayweather fight and the James Toney-Randy Couture fight is the Randy Couture fight was in MMA and there were takedowns allowed, and James Toney had no idea what to do once he got taken down by one of the best ground games.
The reason why
the
James Toney, just to respond to that guy, the reason why that James Toney fought in the first place is because there was a risk that James Toney would sign with Bellator and Dana White freaked out, and so he signed him. That's the reason why that fight happened in the first place.
It was a garbage fight, too.
Don't get upset, buddy. Nick's furious, so we're going to step away for a second. We're going to take a break. We'll get a whole lot more to get to. How about the fact that you were once an assistant coach for a guy that appreciated you so much that he set you up to get arrested? We'll get to that and a whole lot more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The Usual Suspects here on ESPN 97.5 continue to roll on a Thursday afternoon show. I teased this last segment because I do a lot of teases. A lot of people don't realize, Mike Brown's filling in for Steve Kerr during the Western Conference Finals. And Barry and I were just talking in the break. I feel so bad. I hope he traveled to San Antonio. I hope he gets a chance to coach again, because that would really suck at the most important time of the year. And your health... Yeah. Is failing so badly, you can't even sit on the sidelines and coach your team.
Yeah, I do feel bad for him. But I was thinking about this the other day. It makes me feel like coaching is overrated in the NBA.
Yeah, I thought about that too, that most people are going to think anybody could coach the Warriors.
Well, can't they though?
You still got to have a system. You know, we've seen some of the best laid plans fall apart when you can't actually, like, for instance, we talk about Toronto a lot. And I always say in the last 5 minutes of a game, 3 to 5 minutes of a game, they're in trouble because all they run is isolation plays for Lowry. And they're really not plays. They just run isolations for Lowry and DeRozan. And that really doesn't work and it's not effective.
Yeah, but he's got assistant coaches that are helping him with systems and all that. And I get that. But this is a team now that Mike Brown has continued to keep undefeated in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Last year when Steve Kerr missed time, Luke Walton stepped in. Or no, 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it last year? Whatever. The last year he was with the Warriors, he stepped in and led them. And I don't think they lost a game under him, did they?
People wanted him to get coach of the year.
Yeah. So how much of it really is coaching, and how much of it is the fact that if you have the best players on the planet or enough of them,
this is an anomaly. Anyone,
you could just roll the ball out there, and as long as, you know, you have some basics down.
That's why John Calipari is a coach.
They're going to make you look good.
Recruit well. It's a rarity, although we've seen it more. We saw what the Heat did too. But until that time, it was – coaching was a bigger part of it. But I really believe that a lot of people think that the Spurs might not have even beaten the Rockets if they didn't have Greg Popovich.
Okay.
to make the adjustments on the fly when you lose the players, to focus, go from playing the way you were playing to focus on the low post to really accentuate Aldrich and Gasol. There was a lot of good coaching in that series.
Fair enough. Yeah. But on this team, like, do you really think Tyronn Lue is a great basketball coach? Do you really believe in your heart of hearts that he's a world champion level basketball coach?
You have both ends of the spectrum if they end up in the finals, because you got a guy in Tyronn Lue that's not proven. Excuse me. But when Steve Kerr first took the job and they didn't have Kevin Durant, he was able to take the mess that Mark Jackson created of what was starting to come together as a decent team and formulate them into a well-oiled machine.
What was Mark Jackson? What was their record the last year he was there?
It was pretty. They were like the 4 or 5 seed that year, so it was pretty good. But again, from a locker room perspective, from a lot of different things. Look, Mark Jackson didn't like Draymond Green. He was playing David Lee. He didn't want to play Draymond Green. And a lot of other people in that system saw talent in Draymond Green. So, you know, there is that. But for the most part, I do agree that once you start getting these super teams, they're a lot easier to coach. Although, half the time now you're a psychologist because you have to deal with the emotions of your best player, in the case of LeBron James, who keeps saying we need help and we need this and we need that. And that just puts a ton of pressure on the coach and the general manager.
Yeah. So, in 2014... No, Mark Jackson's last year with the Warriors was 2014. They were 51-31.
Yeah. And they got bounced, I think, in the first round by the Clippers in 7.
So what was Kerr's first year? What did they do? His first year, 2015, they were 67-15. So 16 games difference.
They win it all, didn't they?
His first year in 2015? Yeah. So they had 16 playoff wins.
So he turned it. He turned.
But then you see these guys coming in after the, you know, when he's out, and it's there's no fall off. So you're saying it's his system. It's Steve Kerr's system.
I'm saying there's a lot of elements that factor in. I think he brought in a system that was more conducive to run and get the most out of his players, but it was also how he dealt with his players on a daily basis, how they practiced, locker room behaviors, things like that. Whereas Mark Jackson was forcing the Bible on players. There was a lot of that.
Oh.
There was a lot of things where he had a lot of distrust, not only with his players, but also his coaching staff. That came to light. Also the fact that he didn't want to play, like I said, Draymond Green and some of the guys that really ended up being key parts of that championship team. So,
well, I don't like Draymond Green either. I'm with Mark Jackson on that one. Did you see the Mike Brown thing?
That's what I was getting to, too. But it was funny that Mike Brown, who's now filling in for Steve Kerr, a few years back when he got done coaching the Lakers, was brought in to be Greg Popovich's number one assistant in San Antonio. It helped get him to where he is now again. And they've been friends for a long time. But because they're friends and they still have each other's cell phones, it kind of backfired on Mike Brown the other day on the way to the building.
Get through. I'm like, man, this is great. I didn't have to stop for any of these red lights. So I literally start to go, and a cop out of nowhere pulls in front of me and goes, "Yeah, you! Stop!" I'm like, Warriors acting coach? He's like, "I don't care! Hey, you, stop!" I'm like, feeling myself a little bit. I'm like, hey, I'm not getting bullied by either Oakland PD or San Francisco PD. Like, my own building? Own parking lot? So I start to go a little bit, and another one pulls up. "Hey, you heard him, stop." I let the bus go and the 18 cops, and I'm going around behind the bus, and I get this phone call. Greg Popovich, San Antonio Spurs. So I answer the phone, and Pop is dying. I said, "This is my own building." He goes, "I know, when I saw it was you, I died laughing."
So Brown was following the team, San Antonio team bus, on the way to the building, and he thought, "Oh, this is perfect. I just follow them. I get to skip all the red lights."
I thought it was in front of it, like right in front of it.
I thought it was right behind it, one way or the other.
Either way,
he's following in the motorcade that is the visiting team buses going to the Western Conference Finals, thinking that he was going to pull one over and get to the building early, and then ends up where the cops decide, "We don't know who this guy is, and why is he so close to the team buses?" And he ends up getting pulled over. That's pretty good stuff.
That's hilarious. And I love that you know, he gets the call from Popovich and he's laughing about it, which is good, but that would piss me off, man. I'm like, this is my stadium. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, like you said, I'm the acting coach. Why are you like, they're the visitors. You're cops that live in this town. I'm sure the Spurs paid a lot of money, though.
Well, that and the fact that everybody believes the coach of the Warriors is Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
And not many people, like you're saying, just because of the fact that they're the Warriors, not many people pay attention to who the assistant coaches of the Golden State Warriors are.
Yeah.
Unless you're a league guy. So that's classic. At least that brings something that's entertaining in that series.
Yeah, right? Because that's about it.
And how about the fact that there's three, good for Kawhi Leonard, but holy moly, 3 days off now before they play again? They don't play again until Saturday? After every series was every other day, every other day, every other day.
I was surprised. I thought for sure they'd be playing by the end of this week before the weekend.
Dragging it out.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kawhi Leonard, did you see this dude in San Antonio? Oh, Spursy fan. Oh, yeah? We got a break? Okay. I'll do it after the break then.
Yeah,
my bad.
I saw it too, but I'm with you. This, you think Rockets fans and officials are a problem? There's maybe a little bit too much passion and a little too much venom and maybe a little too much Kool-Aid in the Alamo City.
It's pretty dumb.
We'll get to that in a sec. We're the usual suspects, ESPN.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, so you know how we've been critical of Rockets fans throughout the year, and not without good reason, not just for the just because, and we know that you're passionate, and we know you drink Kool-Aid, and we know that you believe that every year your team's going to win it all. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but then you blame the officials, and you don't show up for games early, and you do a lot of things. But would you? The one thing that I'm going to give you credit for as Rockets fans is you would never do something this dumb.
Yeah, well,
you think a Rockets fan would do this?
Yeah.
You do?
There's some pretty stupid-ass people in this town.
Wow.
But yeah, this dude named Juan Vasquez filed a lawsuit on Tuesday against Pachulia for Zaza Pachulia for his closeout on Kawhi Leonard. He's seeking damages of no more than $73,000, but he, quote, mainly wants the court to stop Pachulia's closeouts, if that's even possible. And then this was what his attorney said via the Express News. All we're asking for the court is that this type of behavior that can and does cause injuries to our team and those that love it not be allowed in San Antonio. This is the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard of. He goes on to say the Golden State Warriors, well, it says, this is a real thing from the lawsuit. The Golden State Warriors and Zaza Pachulia on May 14, 2017, subsequent to the purchase of tickets by plaintiff, without excuse or justification, intentionally and maliciously invaded the landing zone of an opposing athlete, Kawhi Leonard, thereby devastating the quality of the Spurs' chances of being competitive and having additional games in their home arena, both in the Western Conference Finals and also potentially in the NBA Finals, and devastating the value of the tickets purchased by plaintiffs subsequent to their purchase.
I mean, if he gets anything, I need a rich person to sue like today.
He's wasting money.
Plus, you know, every season ticket holder for the Spurs is going to line up behind him if he gets something. But in the meantime, it's just it's another publicity grab. This is a small-town LeVar Ball move. Trying to get some, a lawyer trying to get some run, and a guy by the name of Juan Vasquez, who I've heard also goes by the name of El Jefe on Twitter. But I mean, legitimately, this just a publicity stunt.
It's the stupidest thing ever.
Completely agree.
Like, you actually took the time to hire a lawyer, get in your car, drive down to the courthouse, and file this lawsuit. If I was the clerk, I would be like, you know what? I don't need a judge. You're a dumbass. Get out of here. Or just rip up the papers and be done.
Honestly, I see a Patriots fan doing something like this. I really do. You don't see a Patriots fan doing something? No?
No.
Negative?
No. They would just get drunk and say mean-spirited things. I don't know. This is a whole new level of stupid.
Just stupid.
$73,000 for damages.
And I was thinking, now, would it be better to just say for, like, the price of a ticket, or would it be better to go for, like, $1 million to make it, like, more worthwhile? I mean, which...
Neither, because it's dumb.
I get the whole thing's dumb, but, I mean, at the same time, the 70-some thousand doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. It's like, maybe you want to file a suit, you know, for the benefit of all season ticket holders or ticket holders.
It's a no class action lawsuit.
Exactly right.
Somebody just texted and said, Nick should sue Barry for emotional distress. Him's got his feelings hurt.
Why?
I don't know.
100%.
It's a waste of a text.
You are very crotchety today, young man.
If I had a bat, I would flip it at you like Joey Bautista right now. Just walk out of the studio.
How about that game, uneventful as it could be, between the Blue Jays underachieving asses and the Braves who are up and down, and all of a sudden you get two incidents in one game.
Yeah, and they're showing it right now where Kevin Pillar got quick pitched, which I think is funny, but dude, there's no
legal
rule. Yeah, Jason Mott quick pitched the Braves reliever Jason Mott. He quick pitched Pillar, induced an ugly, according to this thing, an ugly inning-ending swing on a slider. Which I didn't see that part, but I did see the bat flip by Joey Bautista later, like the next inning.
Pilar's getting investigated, not because he got mad he got quick pitched, but he dropped a double F.
The double F?
Yeah. One of them is a cuss word, and one of them is a slang term.
For homosexuals?
Correct.
Oh.
So because he got quick pitched, it's one thing to be angry, but then he dropped the double F.
What is it, third grade now in baseball?
And
you can't say that?
That's why he's getting investigated.
Hold on. They're investigating him for saying words?
Mm-hmm.
Is this like the I mean, I know like in the NBA, there was this rule that came out that would give you technicals for cursing.
Like when they're at the free throw line or whatever, because Charles used to do it. If a fan said something right before he shot the free throw, he would have some cuss-laden tirade.
But this is on the field. Like, this is on the field directed at another player. That's not anything to investigate.
But because we're in the era of the SportsCenter, baby,
soft
and
ass.
Everybody's got video of it, and the video they get is him pointing out to the mound, and you can clear as day realize what he's saying. They think because it's a bad look, they're going to drill him.
This soft-ass Major League Baseball. This whole soft-ass society. That's not any... I get it. That word's offensive, but it's not like he is intending it that way.
Nope.
Unless maybe he knows that Jason Mott is gay. Then it's just you're just yelling at a dude. Like, it's just words. You know what I mean? If he was, then I would be like, oh, that's crossing the line. But if he likes chicks, it's just, you know, just a dude being a dude.
So that goes down. And then down 5 runs, Joey Bats, Joey Bautista, Jose Bautista, decides to do another epic bat flip similar to the one, but not as grandiose as the one when they were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, he didn't get nearly the height on it.
Right.
It didn't have the arc that he did in the playoffs.
Or the dramatic kind of
It was pretty dramatic,
down,
though.
But it still was
he
bad.
Because he stared at the pitcher as he did it.
Then he bat flips. So it starts with the first baseman irked.
Jace Peterson.
Yeah, and they start talking to him. And by the time he reaches home plate, it's... And again, you got to see the video because you and I were talking about this. If you're a fan, you're really ticked off. If you're an outfielder, you're really upset. But it looks like by the time he reaches home plate, he realizes he messed up.
You can see that because as he goes to, I think it was Suzuki who was behind the plate, but as they start talking to each other, he kind of puts his hand on Suzuki's chest, like starts patting it, almost like you're trying to calm someone down, like you're saying, my bad, look.
Right.
And then the umpire's coming over and he's telling him, no, you know, he's kind of putting his hand down. You can see him motioning almost as if to say, no, I'm not going to fight him. I'm apologizing. It's kind of the body language that was going on, because then he says a few things, and as Bautista turns around to walk off, he kind of pats his chest in a my bad manner. And I don't know what after that, the bench is cleared. Like, I thought it was pretty clear that he was like, you're right, that was my bad. That was a little much. I apologize. We're all, you know, we got a little out of hand.
Right.
You don't have to act like a bleeping bleepy.
And I mean, I what I thought was great was the interviews in the locker room, because the players were reminding him, remember the last time you did this? And the ass kicking you took?
That was a year ago Monday, by the way. Because when I was looking at the, because I was trying to find the video, this article has it. And they said, by the way, remember Bautista's brawl with Odor? The year mark just passed on Monday.
So, yeah, remember the fact that the last time you got all cocky and dramatic with your bat flip, it ended up getting your jaw rearranged.
You got that ass whooped.
So you keep saying the jaw. I probably missed it. So when he got punched, did it really get rearranged or he just got punched?
I mean, I don't know that he broke any bones, but he rattled his cage.
Like I saw the video clip. It was a bad punch. I just didn't know if he actually broke any bones or anything like that.
You know what it looked like?
What?
It looked like a preview for McGregor Mayweather.
Jeez.
Odor was Mayweather and Bautista was McGregor.
You think so?
Yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
All right, Quentin wants to get in here real quick on the MLB being too soft, talking about this game. What's up, Quentin?
Quentin.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, great show, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, I've been trying to get in for a while, but so let me start off by saying that when you guys were talking about that young lady who's getting signed by that semi-pro team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Come on, man. That's fake news. That girl ain't getting signed because chicks suck at baseball.
Oh, hell.
Quentin. Oh, they suck at sports, period.
No.
Quentin, please give us your Twitter handle and your email address so that all haters can go directly to you.
Chicks don't suck at sports. They don't suck at baseball. Well, they don't play baseball. They play softball. But apparently she's good enough to make the team.
Hey, well, you've heard that old term say you throw like a girl. Hey, they didn't make it up for nothing. But anyways,
it's not true.
You were coming up with, you were agreeing kind of what I'm saying earlier about women not really being proficient at sports. Let me say it like that now.
It's a little late to try and be politically correct.
If I was on that team, right after the game, I'd be the first one to go up to her and tell her good game. You know, that old pat on the rear end.
Oh, Quentin. You'd be the first one in HR, too. He's been trying to explain that.
Come on, man.
I mean, she had a good game. What do you? Why do I have to sign this write-up? She did have a good game. She only gave up 19 runs in a third of an inning.
Major League Baseball's first on-field HR grievance.
Yeah.
And you give her a good pat on the rear end, so, hey, good game.
Quentin, you're going to hell for this.
All right, man. Talk to you guys later.
Appreciate it, Quentin. Thanks a lot, man.
Wow. Yeah, Quentin's always...
He's crazy.
He's never afraid to push that envelope a little bit.
He's crazy. I dig it, though. I dig it. I like this. And I like this. Did you see this shirt that El Jefe tweeted out?
No.
That I guess they're making them in San Antonio.
Oh, that was a while back, yeah.
Bleep Zsa-Zsa.
Yeah.
It's just it's the U in the word is the Spurs logo.
And I said,
the F word if you're not picking up what I'm putting down.
He keeps putting out these shirts. He keeps saying, well, my buddy sent me this. What kind of buddies you got? How about they just send you the shirt?
Right. Well, I wouldn't send you a shirt. You'd have to ask me for it.
I said buddies. At the same time, I mean, just don't say it. Jerk. Send it. Seriously.
I'd be like, Joel, did you see this shirt? And then you would be like, yeah, will you get me one? I'd be like, yeah. But you would have to ask me. I wouldn't just send you the shirt.
Oh, this is like the Subway sandwiches.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one time I always ask you if you'd want a shirt, and you'd say no. And then the one time that I... Don't you would get mad? You always are mad. You're always getting mad
Nick
at
would
me.
Get a shirt.
Yeah. Where does it go? Fred Williams wants to know, Barry, Joel, what did you guys do to the producer? He's salty today. Nick is so salty.
You made that.
I know.
Is that a text or a
That's
tweet?
A tweet from Fred Williams. He tagged you.
Oh, Nick wants that Twitter account. He's coming at him.
Fred, I don't understand it
it's
either,
every
man.
Day, baby.
I don't know. I feel like maybe he's getting his period. I don't know.
I know what we're getting. We're getting guaranteed good service on tires because of the fact that we believe in Nexen Tires. Nexen Tires, leading warranty in the tire industry. Exclusive free roadside assistance. Well, if you've got a flat tire, Nexen will be there to change your tire or tow your vehicle for free. It's just part of the deal. Fastest growing tire brand, trusted by automotive manufacturers everywhere. Check out Nexen Tire on the web to learn more. NexenTireUSA.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to see.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back for one final segment before we turn it over to Fred A.J. Jong and the Blitz. I tweeted this out earlier today, but it's a story that, yes, people, we covered earlier in the year when it happened. But if you recall, there was an on-field security guard in San Diego that decided to play a little pocket pool while standing in front of the Chargers cheerleaders. At the time, we just said we don't know if he's going to keep his job or not. It's gotten publicized. Didn't think anything of it. Now it comes out that the old five-knuckle shuffle on the sideline has forced him to plead guilty to committing a lewd act. So somehow charges were filed. The video went viral. The elite security uniformed officer, so to speak, pleasuring himself on the Chargers-Raiders sideline right in front of the cheerleaders. Investigators in San Diego were able to identify him, charged him with one count of committing a lewd act in public. He later faced the judge, was sentenced to 3 years probation and counseling. However, he won't have to register as a sex offender.
Well, that's good. I'm just in a haze over
You're
here.
You're still bothered, I know.
I'm just in a fog. Talk about HR violations. I should turn Joel in. I should.
What happened? How's the smell in there? What happened? Tell me. I've missed it completely.
You know what happened, Nick. You know what happened.
Go ahead.
I can't
explain.
Work. I can't.
Listeners
want to
know.
I can't work like this.
All I know is that you were sitting in there patiently like you always do for our three-hour programs, and all of a sudden you got up and you left.
And screaming and yelling.
Screaming. Go on, tell the people what you did to me, Joel.
Why do I have to? Besides that,
nobody wants to throw him under the bus.
Yeah,
he doesn't
want to
throw himself under the bus.
You know the bus that Mike Brown got caught behind? Nick's driving it because he just loves this. He used to always bitch about me early in this whole thing, and
well,
now
I got
it's just
so
him.
Bad at the beginning. So I'm good.
Golly.
Okay, we'll move on. We'll move on.
No, we're not now.
No, we'll move on.
Okay,
we'll move on. All right. We won't talk about what he did in the.
We won't talk about Joel crapping his pants.
You know, sometimes, like, when you're in the privacy of your own house, or you're just sitting, I'm reading copy in the break, I don't even think about it, and I just happen to...
Not only did you rip one...
Rip one, there you go.
Yeah, and not only did you rip one, but you stuttered. It was just like... like, I told Nick, it sounded like someone trying to sneak up squeaky stairs at night.
So I gangstered you with the machine gun.
Yeah.
And it came out with a rat-a-tat-tat, and I didn't even think it twice. And also I heard, what? Are you kidding me?
No.
Ah,
no.
That's
not, nope. That is not what happened.
I couldn't do it that high-pitched when you picked your dress up on the way out the door, and Nick was trying to get you back in here.
I slammed. Is that you, Joel? I slammed my hands down and said, unacceptable, and walked out.
No, that's not
that's
what you did.
Exactly
no,
what I
you're
did.
Laughing because you know how wrong you are.
No.
You were like, are you kidding me? You just.
I heard swear words.
Yes.
You were dropping F-bombs and all kinds of stuff.
That's not how it happened.
Yes,
Nick,
it
Nick,
was.
That's not how it happened. I just said this is unacceptable.
Two witnesses, Nick. Two against one. We both saw it and heard it.
Oh, okay, Pigpen over there just crapping in your pants.
Dude, when you got to go, you got
to
go.
You I thought Barry had to use the restroom.
My
Usually
wife,
when he leaves the studio that quickly, he has to go take a leak or something.
Here's the thing. I got so relaxed around my wife after 18 years, that I would just fart whenever. I wouldn't care. I just whatever.
Oh, so when you do it, it's okay.
Everyone farts, but right. I'm not over here like farting on you.
I didn't look. I didn't sit on your head or
I
anything.
I have to breathe the
I'm
air in
6
here.
Feet away from
There's
you.
There's no way to open a window. Anyways. My wife was like, you know what? If you keep this up, we're never having sex again. I haven't farted in 2 years.
Which is...
I'm going to explode one day.
This is why all that hot air is coming from, Nick.
Yeah, that's right. Like, she hit me with the ultimate ultimatum. She was like, that's it. Give up one of the two things, sex or farting. I was like, well, farting's out. That's not... I'm not doing that anymore. Ever. Like, ever again. So now, like, now I have to treat it like it's our first date again, where I'm like, I think I heard something outside. I better go check. And I'm just out there going, oh, God, this feels so good. Oh, I can't do it around her. Every once in a while, if it slips, I'll just blame the cat. I'm like, whew, now I'm going to go check the litter box. I think the cat must have done something.
Moral of the story is we're not having sex, so I can fart whenever I want.
I'm cutting you off now. You're not getting any more.
Jeez.
I don't know. If anyone is going to be angry about all this, it's not going to be you. You were the perpetrator. There's no reason.
Basically, it was the most innocent and organic thing ever.
Fart is organic.
I was just reading copy during the break. I wasn't even thinking about it. It was like almost like I was home alone watching a baseball game. And all of a sudden, what are you doing? And he was flying. Nick's like, what'd you do to him? I go, I didn't do anything. I just broke wind. He's like, Barry, get back in here. I'm not going back in there. There's no window open.
You didn't break wind. You ruined wind. Like, you ruined it forever.
The wind was clean and fresh. Wind,
yeah.
Let it go.
Somebody said, is this Nick and versus Barry a new bit? You guys used to get along. No, Nick just got salty all of a sudden with me, and he doesn't like me anymore.
I'm super nice to you guys.
I don't know. He doesn't like me anymore.
Hey, first of all, don't rope me into that. You're still driving the bus.
I don't know what I did to Nick, but he's upset. But then this next text says, need to send Trey to get Nick some Vagisil, which I think is pretty accurate.
I don't think there was a text that said that.
I think there is. I think you can check it. You need to go look at it.
It came from Barry's phone number.
I'm going to tweet this text out. I'm going to take a picture of this text and tweet it.
And you'll know Barry's cell phone in the process.
No, I'm not going to do that. Oh, my goodness. Where did this show go wrong?
Well, it's gone now because it's that time.
Today.
So before we get out of here and we tell you guys to make sure you join us again for one more fine day tomorrow to make your work week complete, Friday from 1 to 4, I'm here to tell you guys about the big Memorial Super Sale going on right now at Gallery Furniture. Open till 10 o'clock tonight. You get your furniture today. You get it delivered tonight. And it's in a 3 or 4 hour window, not back order slips that can set you back 3, 6, or 9 weeks before you actually get the furniture that you ordered. So hurry out to Gallery Furniture for the incredible Memorial Super Sale, open till 10 o'clock. And again, they have 3 convenient locations across the Houston area. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, right in the heart of the Galleria, Westheimer at Post Oak. And of course, the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Max sits at the front desk. He puts you in the capable hands of his great sales team, and he makes sure that there's customer service before, during, and after the sale. Right now, the largest selection of Tempur-Pedic sleep sets from one of the world's largest dealers in Gallery Furniture, and it'll save you $600 on Tempur-Pedic dual adjustable sleep sets. Buy your Tempur-Pedic sleep sets at Gallery Furniture. Again, 3 locations across the Houston area, and as they always say, Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.